From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The Pentagon confirms reports that the Syrian government has been firing Scud missiles at insurgent areas in recent days. It marks an escalation in the conflict as rebels try to overthrow the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. White House spokesman Jay Carney says it's fresh evidence Assad's forces have no regard for innocent civilians.
The idea that the Syrian regime would launch missiles within its borders at its own people is stunning, desperate, and a completely disproportionate military escalation.
Meanwhile, Syria's opposition coalition says U.S. recognition of it as the sole representative of the Syrian people must translate into help on the ground. Egypt's main opposition coalition is encouraging Egyptians to go to the polls Saturday and vote no on President Mohamed Morsi's disputed constitution. However, opposition leaders are saying they may still call a boycott if Egypt's judiciary doesn't oversee the referendum. North Korea is hailing what it claims is its first successful launch of a satellite. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Seoul that the U.S., South Korea have condemned the launch as a violation of U.N. resolutions, but they concede that it was technically, at least, a success.
The official Korean Central News Agency said that the country's scientists had carried out the instructions of the late leader Kim Jong-il to launch a satellite this year to mark the 100th birthday of North Korea's founding father, Kim Il-sung. State television reported the news in a special broadcast of a sort not seen since Kim Jong-il died on December 17th last year. North Korea and its ally China affirm the North's right to launch satellites for scientific purposes. The U.S., Japan, and South Korea have denounced the launch as a thinly disguised test of a ballistic missile. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
Federal Reserve policymakers say they'll continue to pump large amounts of money into the economy next year. As Steve Beckner of Market News International reports, the move will keep interest rates down as long as unemployment is high.
Whatever happens with the fiscal cliff, there will be no monetary cliff. The Fed will keep buying $85 billion of bonds per month to hold down long-term interest rates. $45 billion of Treasury bond purchases, financed by sales of short-term Treasuries, were due to expire at year-end. Now those will continue, along with $40 billion per month of mortgage bond buying, financed by the creation of new money. At that pace, the Fed's balance sheet will expand by more than $1 trillion next year. For the first time, the Fed says it will keep short-term rates near zero so long as unemployment stays above 6.5% and inflation doesn't go over 2.5%. For NPR News, I am Steve Beckner in Washington.
On Wall Street, an hour before the close, the Dow is up 24 points at 13,271. The NASDAQ is down one at 3,021. This is NPR. A judge in Guatemala is ordering the release of software company founder John McAfee to the U.S. He's been held in a Guatemalan detention center after he snuck into Guatemala from Belize, where police want to question him about the murder of a neighbor. McAfee has a home on a Belizean island. The FBI is crediting Facebook security team for helping unravel an international cybercrime ring. The FBI announced yesterday 10 people are under arrest for a scheme that compromised more than 11 million computer systems and led to more than $850 million in losses. Facebook helped government agents uncover the root cause of the malware that steals credit card and bank account information of computer users. Sitar virtuoso Ravi Shankar has died at the age of 92. Shankar mentored the Beatles in the 60s, brought Indian music to the West, and as Elliot Hannon reports, he's considered a pioneer of world music.
To Western audiences, Ravi Shankar was best known for bringing traditional Indian music to the world stage. Playing the sitar, Shankar rose to international fame, collaborating with everyone from the Beatles to John Coltrane. The Beatles' George Harrison once called Shankar the godfather of world music. Today, the Indian Prime Minister called the three-time Grammy winner a national treasure and a global ambassador of India's cultural heritage. Throughout the afternoon, Indian TV stations played tributes to the musician, while politicians and Bollywood stars posted remembrances on Twitter. India's vice president said Shankar's death created a void which may never be filled. For NPR News, I'm Elliot Hannon in New Delhi.
And I'm Barbara Klein.